Resilience leaders aren't just the ones writing crisis plans anymore. They're shaping strategy, influencing executives, and guiding organizations through uncertainty. I'm Brian Strausser, Principal and Chief Executive here at Brightpath, and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. What I want to talk about here is how the role has changed for resilience leaders. That we are no longer the plan writers, but we should now be the strategic influencers. And that role has evolved over my nearly 30 years in business continuity, crisis management, and IT disaster recovery. So let's get into it. The old role for resilience leaders in industry was as the plan writer. They were historically seen as compliance-driven. We're writing business continuity plans, we're running tabletop exercises, we're doing check-the-box activities. We're often siloed in this time in risk or security or operations, and we were rarely, if ever, viewed as strategic contributors. And this is a trap in my mind, because good work resilience leaders were doing good work that didn't move the needle at the executive level. They were doing tasks. We were writing plans instead of contributing strategically to the organization. As we have talked about before in a number of podcast episodes and articles and white papers, the new expectation for resilience is as a strategic influencer. That organizations today face complex interdependent risks, cybersecurity, supply chain, geopolitical disruption, and others. And boards and executives are looking for resilience leaders who can connect risk to revenue, to brand, to strategy, to those strategic objectives. What made us successful in the past will not make us successful in the future. Our core competency now has to be influence, the ability to shape decisions, not just execute plans. So what does that look like in practice? Well, it looks like aligning our resilience programs with the business goals, the strategic goals of the organization, speaking the language of growth, of customers, of financials. It means building, as we've talked about, game-changing relationships across the enterprise, finance, human resources, operations, communication, technology. And it means showing executive presence. And I don't mean how you're dressing or where you got your suit or what have you, but concise, candid, clear, business-oriented communication that elevates rather than buries leaders in detail. There's a number of areas where we commonly see overinvestment, and these are the pitfalls I think that we need to avoid. Spending too much time on documentation and technical perfection, over-focusing on program maturity scores and things like that instead of helping the organization achieve the business outcomes that they desire. And that we operate as the owner of risk instead of enabling the business to manage those risks. What's the future of this role? The future of a resilience leader is as a strategist and trusted advisor, where resilience becomes a competitive advantage, not just some kind of risk mitigation activity. Where we measure success in influence, in executive trust, and organizational adaptability as a part of achieving those resilience goals. So ask yourself, how are you perceived within your organization? Are you perceived as a plan owner or as a strategic partner? Take the time to map your relationships. Who else do you need to be working with to be influencing in order to have real impact? And lastly, shift your conversations. Move from detailed risk language, RTO, RPO, BIA. Yes, those terms are important. But what's really important to your executives are building trust with your customers, about building value in your brand, and about improving the resilience of your organization. I would challenge you as a resilience professional to reframe your role. Don't just prepare for that next disruption, but put yourself in a position where you can lead your organization through that disruption. That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.